Well, I would like to encourage you tonight to get a clear conscience. I'm not doubting that you don't have one. I'm just saying it's a good thing to have. A clear conscience is the idea of gaining a transparent personality. Guilty conscience, you hide yourself. You close yourself off. A clear conscience is listed in Scripture, and this might surprise you, as one of the most essential weapons for successful spiritual achievement. I take you to 1 Timothy 1:18 and 19. Paul talking to Timothy, who he had left as the apostolic representative in Ephesus. "This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee." We read elsewhere that Timothy, when he was ordained, when the laying on of hands happened to him by other pastors, other elders, that prophecies, God was giving prophecies in those days. The Holy Spirit would give the gift of prophecy to someone, and they would talk about what Timothy was going to do, or what God was wanting him to do. And so he says, "According to those prophecies that went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare." To do that, holding faith — without faith, it's impossible to please God — and a good conscience. That's the two things. You hold to the faith of the Word of God, you believe in what God has said, and you have a good conscience, which some, having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck. You may shipwreck your faith. Concerning faith have made shipwreck when you lose a good conscience. All right, what are the cautions? The cautions in gaining a clear conscience. Tom said, "My parents aren't Christians. They seem to make things as difficult as they can for me. They want nothing to do with the church or the Bible." Pastor said to him, "Tom, how important is it to you that your parents become Christians?" "Tom, it's very important to me. I really want them to accept Christ." "Pastor, then there's something very important you must do." "Tom, there's really not too much I can do. They just don't seem to get along no matter how hard I try." "Pastor, Tom, here's what you can do. Get alone somewhere and carefully write down all the things you have done that cause your parents to get angry with you. If you have enough paper, right? Put these under general topics, such as laziness, ungratefulness, poor attitude, and so on. Then go to each of them and ask for their forgiveness for those things." Tom went home, determined, emboldened to carry this out. And 2 weeks later, the pastor received a note from him. "I did what you suggested and went to each member of my family and made amends with them. Each one was deeply touched by this, even my younger brother. I've been trying to live up to Christian standards here at home, but I've slipped a couple of times. I also have taken your advice and am memorizing a verse of Scripture each day. My mother is coming to church with me regularly now. Thank God." A few months later, Tom wrote again, "I just thought I would write and tell you of the latest developments in our family. My mother recently went to talk with our pastor and has rededicated her life to Christ. Now there are two of us in the family. I'm very thankful to the Lord for answering prayer." The next month, he sent another note, "My mother is growing in Christ every day, and I hope I am too. Thank you for your prayers." Clear conscience shows people that you are sincere, actually reaches their lives. Third point here is a clear conscience is related to make correct, to the ability to make correct decisions. The president of a lumberyard drove home on a rainy night. As he hurried around a winding forest road, he came upon a boy on a bicycle. He slammed on his brakes but hit the boy on the slick road. He heard the quick crunch and the dull thud against the front of his car. In that split second, he had made a decision. This was a decision that would influence the rest of his life. He backed up the car and drove around the boy on the road. In a cold sweat, sped on home. The next morning, as he was eating breakfast, his wife turned on the radio. At that very moment came the report of the hit-and-run accident. Another car had come around the curve and had hit the boy. He was in critical condition at the hospital. The man's wife said how terrible it was that the first driver had not stopped. His son came in saying, "Hey, Dad, your front headlight is broken." The man lied and said he broke it getting into the garage. All day he could not do his work, and at noon he turned himself in to the police. The entire town was angry at this incident. The judge found it necessary to make a public example of the man. He was sentenced to 20 years in prison. After the trial, he asked the judge what penalty would have been given him if he had taken the boy to the hospital. The judge said there would have been no penalty. It was an accident. You would have done what you could. A reporter became interested in finding out why a responsible businessman and father would make such a wrong decision at the scene of an accident. The man was willing to explain because he had thought this through. "When I was a boy, my father had a beautiful pocket watch. I saw him put it in the top drawer of his dresser. One day, I wanted to show the watch to my friends at school. I thought about how important it would make me feel. I didn't think my father would like the idea, so I secretly slid it into my pocket. As one of my friends handed the watch back to me, it slipped and broke into tiny pieces. I gathered up what I could and later put the pieces into the napkin in my father's dresser. About a week later, my father discovered the broken watch and was furious. I lied and told him I didn't know anything about it. As I look back, I can see that ever since then, I've run from an accident instead of facing the consequences." Not a clear conscience. Fourth is that a clear conscience is related to the power in conquering new temptations. A 6-year-old girl came to her mother and solemnly asked, "If I do something wrong, isn't it enough to ask God to forgive me?" Her mother explained that if she offended someone, she offended Soyoni, that means someone, she must also ask that person to forgive her. The girl sadly left the room. A little later she returned, "Mommy, what if the person won't forgive me?" Her mother assured her that if she were truly sorry for what she had done, she would certainly be forgiven. She left quietly, returned a few minutes later. "Mommy, I didn't lie to Grandma, and I didn't lie to my brother, but I lied to you." Her mother asked her how she had lied to her. My text says, Acme. "When I came into your room, you asked me if I had a nightmare because you said I couldn't sleep with you and Daddy. I could sleep with you and Daddy only if I had a nightmare. I told you that I did, but I didn't. The next morning, when everyone asked me what the nightmare was, I had to make one up." She began to cry. Just then, her 11-year-old brother walked in and asked what the matter was. And the mother explained. The girl asked her brother, "Did you ever lie?" He says, "Yes, when I was your age, I did." She says, "You haven't lied since then?" He was very emphatic. "No, it's just not worth it. If you lie, you have to go back and ask forgiveness. It's just not worth it." You go through that process of actually admitting what you've done and asking for forgiveness without blaming anybody else. You don't want to do it many times. It is a powerful, powerful thing. The fifth thing is this: a clear conscience gives the freedom to build deep friendships. Freedom to build deep friendships. Perhaps the most attractive quality for making friends is sincere humility. A Christian youth worker told this story. At one point in my life, I made a list of all those who weren't as friendly toward me as they once were. In each case, I recalled that there was something I had done or neglected to do which accounted for their lack of friendliness. I had not gone back to any of them because I felt each of them had wronged me more than I wronged them. God made it clear to me that I should forgive and forget their 90% wrongs and ask forgiveness for my little 10%. I went back to each of them and asked for forgiveness. These people became the greatest supporters of my youth work. One man who was on my list I had not seen for several years, and I thought I would never see him again. I worked out what I would say if I ever saw him again. One day, he stopped by to borrow something. I took the opportunity to ask his forgiveness. Through a chain of events, his reports about the work to others resulted in gifts for my ministry totaling over $30,000. Cal was a high school student who asked his pastor if he should go back to the owner of a store where he had worked during the summer. He said, "While I worked there, I took some money out of the cash register." He wondered if he should ask forgiveness since he didn't have any money to pay the man back. The pastor assured him that God was deeply concerned that he go back as soon as possible and confess what he had done. He could offer to pay part of it now and the rest as he was able. 1 week later, Cal gave this report. "I went back to the owner of the store. He was really surprised to see me and especially amazed that I would confess to what I had done and offer to pay it back. Not only did he forgive me, he gave me a good paying job. He said that the courage and honesty I had in coming back to him are the qualities he's looking for in his employees." Not what he expected. Proverbs 28:13, "He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy." 2 Corinthians 6:8-10, "By honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing yet possessing all things." That's the description of his labor. So have a clear conscience. Do whatever it takes to clear your conscience.